We will, in fact, usher in a Football Friday because there's a lot on tap this weekend. And as always, it's college, it's the NFL. It's the sport that really should be America's pastime. But at least in October, on Thursday nights, baseball outdraws football. It's complicated, it's convoluted, but I'm sure baseball is happy that football, at least on Thursdays, is taking place on a streaming service and not on network TV. I wouldn't be surprised if Braves, Phillies, and the numbers for that game four is an elimination game for the Braves, but also because the Phillies have a loud and expressive and extensive fan base, including Joel Embiid, by the way, who was there at Citizens Bank Park, with all the attention this series has gotten for the extracurriculars, Attaboy Harper and the stare downs and, oh, the throat slashes and all the other gesturing. I could imagine it had a huge audience on a Thursday night and football. Not that you're hurting for viewers, of course, but maybe on this night you take a back seat.
I think I'm good.
It's brief. Let me just say it's brief because come Sunday when the championship series begin, you know, then the NFL is the big bad. That's just kind of how it goes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's the ALCS that begins on Sunday night, actually, up against Sunday Night Football and the Cowboys. Oh, dear. How about that? Three Texas teams in primetime on Sunday evening because it's the Rangers and the Astros meeting for the first time ever in the playoffs. That's pretty incredible. And then it's the Dallas Cowboys who make up. Oh, that's wait. Is that Monday night? Oh, shoot.
Yeah,
it's not
it
Sunday night. My fault. Okay, so then you just, sorry about that. Totally.
The LCS might be Monday night as well, though.
Well, I was just going to say, I should have just said Monday night, not Sunday night. But yes, Monday night, when you've got Monday Night Football, and these days, Monday Night Football airs on like four different channels because it's on ABC half the time. You've got the Monday Night Mannings. You've also got the ESPN broadcast. Anyway, so Monday night, you just scratch that from the record. There goes the perfect hour. The Rangers and the Astros and the Cowboys all in action on Monday night. And so Monday night's going to be busy. Just the way that baseball and football intersect in October, it's always a challenge. But good stuff on this Thursday, where at least baseball had one night where it probably was a little more attention-grabbing than was the football. Plus, the football game was a shutout until the third quarter, fourth quarter? Oy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We did put up the After Hours Game of the Week poll. It is now live on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, as well as our Facebook page. We'd love to connect with you there. It's cool that we're hearing from people all the time who are just now finding out about After Hours. 11 years, and there's still people that are finding the show for the first time, which it means a lot to me. My general rule is give me 2 weeks and you'll be hooked. You may not love the show, but you won't be able to quit the show. Sometimes it's like a train wreck, and you know what? It's rubbernecking. Rubbernecking it after hours as we ride the hype train. Yes, that's true. You know, it's really funny. I saw someone on our Facebook page talking about how the Lions are flying under the radar.
Oh, only like the most hyped team going into the season.
Sometimes we and sports fans live on completely different planets. Anyway, so yes, Lions and Buccaneers is part of the After Hours Game of the Week poll. It's a weird matchup. It's just weird. You wouldn't think Lions and Buccaneers would have anything that would draw people to the table outside of their own fan bases, right? But because the Lions are decidedly not under the radar, because they're 4-1 and on top of the NFC North, and because the Buccaneers are quietly, you want to talk about a team flying under the radar, that would be the Buccaneers, even with Baker Mayfield as their starting QB. It's a rebirth for Baker. Baker's reborn. Just, this has got to be one of my favorite storylines. I seriously am rooting for the Buccaneers just because of Baker. Because I want him to be able to get to, well, maybe he can wear his own shirt that says F the Browns. What do you think?
Oh my
gosh. F Cleveland. Do you think that's Baker Mayfield? Is he too mature for that now?
I feel like he's acts like he is, but maybe deep down they're still in there.
I'm not even sure it's deep down, Jay. It might be just below the surface.
Maybe like 3 or 4 more wins away. And then, then he'll come out with the shirt.
And I'm not saying we root for injuries. We do not. But the fact that Deshaun Watson reportedly is keeping himself off of the field. So taking care of his physical body, not feeling like he's ready to play, even though the Browns, again, reportedly have cleared him. The Browns doctors have cleared him to play. He is not playing in week 5. And I don't know if there's a dispute there. Certainly an athlete has the prerogative of being able to determine whether or not he is good to go. You don't want to go out there and well, not every athlete does. Some athletes will go out there and will play at 60%, 70%. We know Joe Burrow did that 2 weeks ago. He wasn't anywhere close to being fully healthy. He is now, he says. But some athletes, they don't want to play if they're not fully healthy or they feel like they can maintain the standard to which they are accustomed and standard for which they're paid. But in the case of Deshaun, the report is the Cleveland Browns cleared him and he's still not ready to play, he believes. So anyway, going back to the dynamic, I wonder, as Jay says, if they get a few more wins or if they get past the midway point of the season and they're winning the, maybe he waits until they win the NFC South and then he wears the F Cleveland shirt. Except he says he loves Cleveland. He loved the fans, he said, but they turned on him pretty quickly. Fans are fickle. It's not just in Cleveland. It's everywhere. Fans are fickle. Do you think he might take that step?
I could definitely see. I don't know if he would go as far as to make the shirt and like put it out there. But if someone were to send him the shirt, say a show has made the shirt and sent it over there.
Don't look at us. We're not making
the
shirt.
I don't know. Would he wear it? He might.
George Kittle style.
Exactly.
It was a homemade shirt.
If it just kind of showed up in his locker one day, you go, oh, this is kind of clever.
Especially after George is indicating that he doesn't care. It was totally worth it to wear that shirt underneath his jersey. He actually wore it underneath his jersey on Sunday night. That part I didn't realize until after the fact.
On the field.
I didn't know. Right. Didn't know it was on his body when he was on the field. But that would be why the NFL would fine him. It's not because of the language necessarily. You can't get a taunting flag over your shirt once you're done. But the fact that he was wearing it and it's not standard issue underneath his jersey, that's not allowed.
So, definitely not allowed.
Definitely not allowed, regardless of what's on the shirt. It could be a Beavis and Butthead shirt, and it's still not allowed.
Now someone's going to do that.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So, yes, if George Kittle can do it, I wouldn't put it past a reborn Baker Mayfield, if you will.
Laugh now, cry later.
It's got to be one of my favorites. So good. We've had some really, like in the first 5 weeks, some really cool snippets of audio from various athletes that we can bring back and we can drop in. That's what we call them. They're called drops. It's a radio term or a media term. Drop it in, baby.
We f- grinded. I wasn't even f- here.
Jay, do you think that we find these drops and these snippets from athletes far more amusing than the average American?
Maybe. Yeah. I thought that before.
You and I, we find these so amusing. And I'm not sure anybody else is laughing.
I'm not sure that they're not.
That's true. Good point. We don't know that they're not laughing. All right. Anyway, find the After Hours Game of the Week poll. Lions and Buccaneers is definitely in there. And like I said, there's some weird ones this week. Seahawks and Bengals. But why? Well, for obvious reasons, the Bengals need to stack wins. The Seahawks, they're second place in the NFC West. If they have designs on keeping up with the Niners, they dare not lose a step. Can't have a misstep when you're chasing one of the best.
Get out of here.
But for the Bengals, it's important that they're able to stay in this rhythm with the offense. And a lot of that is predicated on the health of their quarterback. Now, we're going to give you a full-on, I was going to say full moon QB news coming up soon on the show, but a little bit of a taste, a little bit of a preview, Joe Burrow about his calf going into the game against Seattle.
Feel good. Keep getting better, so it's exciting.
Is this probably as close to 100% you felt since going back to before the trade against Harden?
By far, yeah. By far.
By far the best that he has felt. Cowboys and Chargers, that could be a track meet. Maybe. I don't know. I can't decide if I like the Dallas defense to slow down another potent offense. I think if you look at the Chargers offense with Justin Herbert at the helm, and he is expected to play. They had the bye last week, so that finger is better. And he's not, theoretically, not going to have any restrictions. That offense can blast you. Austin Eckler is supposed to return on Monday night. There could be a debate about the offense between, like, Niners and Chargers. Both have great weapons. I know Mike Williams is lost for the Chargers, but both have great weapons around their quarterbacks. And there is not a throw Justin Herbert can't make. He's a badass. I know sometimes they make bonehead mistakes, and that's what it's like to be a Charger. But you could say that they have as many weapons, or at least can hang in terms of offense and production with the Niners. Defense, no. But offense, yes. So it should be another challenge for the Dallas Cowboys. They're so Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And if you missed my conversation with longtime NFL GM and front office executive Randy Mueller, we talked to him actually this time yesterday. We spoke about the Cowboys extensively. And by that, I mean two questions. One of them was about the inconsistency and why. Why is it that it seems like Dallas can be a world beater one week and worse than the Broncos the next week? I mean, why is that? Why the inconsistency? Why do the Cowboys seem to play down to the level of their competition? That was the case with Arizona, for sure. So Cowboys, and then there's Dak. There's this Dak component. And I asked him, what's wrong with Dak? He gave me his opinion again from the mind of a general manager. So make sure you check that out. The link is actually on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, but it's also on our Facebook page. Easy to find. On Facebook, you look for Randy Mueller's mug. On Twitter, you look for mine. I don't know what that means. So Cowboys and Chargers comes up on Monday night. And as I say, you have three Texas teams that'll be playing under the lights and in primetime on Monday evening. That should be fun.
We're excited.
Eagles and Jets. Also talked about Zach Wilson with Randy, and his is definitely the minority opinion when it comes to Zach Wilson. I'm pretty sure he used the word, it's fine. He said it's fine the way it is. It's fine the way it is. Is that what you're looking for when you put together an NFL team? You trot your quarterback out there, it's fine. He's fine. I mean, he's a fine tooth comb. He's fine.
He's totally fine.
Oh, goodness. So Jets will be hosting the Eagles. The Eagles haven't played their best football yet. Still, I've seen them establish the run game, the ball control game. A.J. Brown's been really active the last couple weeks as well. Devontae Smith actually hasn't had a ton of play in the offense. There have been a couple of balls that he's either dropped or he and Jalen didn't have the connection. But we've seen the Eagles start to rev up both sides of the offense. And the defense has been, it's physical, it's tough. But still, I don't think they're anywhere near where they were in the NFC Championship game. So trying to find consistency, trying to find an identity now, 5 weeks in, going into week six. This is where you start to see the separation with the real good teams versus the teams that are still scuffling. So we've got the poll, and coming up next, Chiefs Broncos on Amazon Prime. Poor Al Michaels. He keeps getting stuck with Denver. I'm just saying he must hate it now. He looks at the schedule and thinks, come on.
He signed a deal with the devil.
I can't get away with from this team. Russell Wilson, I'm tired of seeing your mug. I'm just kidding. Right? Right? 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. It's a happy almost Friday greeting for you. Oh, it sounds so good. And actually in, let's see, 7 hours, I'll be on my way to the airport. You know what it means when I have to go to the airport in the morning?
Sleep is...
No sleep. There's sleep is not even an option. Nope. But this is a great weekend plan. I finally decided, as much as it's a tease, I'll tell you.
You're going to do it?
Because I feel like it's worse if I don't tell you. Jay's like, no, it's not. But okay.
It was a tease.
Just keep it to myself. No, I think people need to know what it is that they're missing out on.
You're going to have to post photos.
Oh, I definitely will. Oh, my goodness. These are some wedding planning photos that I will definitely post. And believe you me, when I say the subject will be the star of the show, this might be my favorite weekend of all.
Let's go!
Why? Why? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Double tight right side for the Broncos on the near hash. 3-0 Kansas City. Play action fake by Wilson. He'll throw it left, intercepted on the right side. He throws it to the right side and it's picked off. Nick Bolton, welcome back, man. That ankle feels real good right now. And Russell Wilson throws it right into the hands of Lone Star Ranger from Frisco, Texas, Nick Bolton.
McKinnon in the game to the left of Mahomes, who takes a snap, bounces around. He's in trouble. He's grabbed by the leg, throws the ball anyway, and it's going to be intercepted. That ball intercepted, a horrible decision, and that is Justin Simmons once again. Justin Simmons on a really bad decision by Patrick Mahomes with the interception. And the Broncos defense comes up with exactly what they had to have.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you were keeping score at home, 4 total turnovers in this game between the Chiefs and Broncos on Thursday Night Football, kicking off week 6. And sometimes I feel like we do lower our expectations for Thursday night. We've been taught that. It's been ingrained in our football-loving brains that we really can't have high expectations for Thursday. And when we do get a real good game and some technically sound play, well, then we are pleasantly surprised. It's kind of sad, right? We've been taught now to lower expectations about Thursday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mitch Holtis and Dave Logan on the Chiefs and Broncos radio networks, respectively. I love that Andy Reid admits he'd rather have this moment back from the second quarter at the Denver 6. Now, we know Harrison Butker, he can make a field goal from there. He had a 63-yarder on this night. But for some reason, well, we know why. I mean, the Chiefs have a potent offense. They've got Patrick Mahomes. They think, why not? Why can't we pick up 2 yards? And so they decide to pull a fast one on Sean Payton and Denver.
And this field goal attempt will be spotted in between the hash marks at the 15, a 25-yard attempt for Harrison Butker. And they go for it. They trick. Don't snap it. They hurry up to take a quarterback sneak. And this will depend on the spot.
Yeah, from up here, I don't think they got it.
Chiefs are signaling they do. Broncos are signaling they don't. Dave Tobe, the special teams coach for Kansas City, one of the really great special teams coaches. I don't think he got this.
Short of the line to gain, it's a turnover on downs. First down, Denver.
Yes, sir. So 3 trips into the red zone in the first half for the Broncos, and the Chiefs have 3 points to show for it.
Yeah, I shouldn't have called that. I mean, it was 2 yards right there and probably a little bit too far. So, you know, but we were trying to stay aggressive with it, but probably want that one back.
So on a Thursday night, you get a mixed bag. But against the Denver Broncos, all right, if you go 1 for 5 in the red zone, you still end up winning by double figures. And while it wasn't a night that Patrick Mahomes will look at and say, okay, that was where the offense clicked into high gear, they're still incorporating a lot of different parts. Younger guys, other than Travis Kelce, a lot of parts have changed on this offense. Yet again, Kadarius Toney was with them last year. Obviously, Isaiah Pacheco was as well. And I saw some, I mean, it's spotty now for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You don't see him nearly as much anymore. He kind of lost his job, or kind of, he did lose his job. But it's different pieces to the offense. It's a lot of young guys, and they are definitely not in the type of rhythm that they would prefer. Rashee Rice is a new one. We've seen a lot with him. Sky Moore, still young. I know Jerick McKinnon mixed in now and then as well with Noah Gray. I mean, these are not like veterans who've been around for a long time. Instead, well, MVS to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He was with them last year, but still, you're talking about a lot of second-year guys, first and second-year guys with the Chiefs. And so it does put a bunch of pressure on Patrick as well as Travis Kelce. And they're one of the old married couples in sports. They finish each other's sentences. That nonverbal communication is humongous. And you could see over and over on this night how often Patrick, needing to move the chains, needing to advance the ball, would look for his essentially a safety blanket, would look for his out. And Travis knows to come back to the ball. And I thought it was interesting, too, because I say this a lot about Travis Kelce. How is it that a man that big can be that wide open over and over again? Defenses know. They know what Travis Kelce is capable of. The thing is, he's out there improvising. He's like a comedian doing improv, just out there doing his own thing. There aren't routes written for Travis Kelce. He just makes up his own. And it's really in response to what he's seeing from his quarterback. If his quarterback is scrambling, hasn't been able to unload the football, is trying to extend the play, is stepping around the pass rush, Kelce knows how to come back to the ball, but he does it in a way that is creative and that keeps the defense guessing. You could watch tape after tape after tape and know his tendencies, but he's reacting to what the defense is doing. You see this a lot in basketball, and I love to make this analogy or this comparison when it comes to Travis, because and I know we don't get a lot of this anymore in the NBA. Classic big men, they're few and far between. But when you have a point guard who is trying to find a way to get the ball into the paint, right? So enter the ball into the lane, and you know, you got some defense, maybe he's getting trapped, whatever it is, can't seem to find someone who's open. It's generally on the forwards. If you have a real good power forward, especially, to get open, you go back and forth across the lane, you flash high, you do a V cut. What you're doing is trying to get open so you can give your point guard a target so that you can, in this case, move the ball into the lane. But in the case of football, you're talking about advancing it, right? Travis Kelce is so good at that. He gets away from the defense somehow. He can turn on a dime. He parks himself, gets low, waits for the football. It's always amazing to see how often the two of them connect. Defenses know it's going to happen and yet still can't really figure out a good way to stop it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Only one time in the red zone were the Chiefs able to find pay dirt.
Chiefs have been inside the 20 four times in this game. Shotgun snap. Side touchdown, Kansas City. Kadarius Toney on the quick out, and the Chiefs finally break down the door and take some nectar.
Guys are making plays when it counts, but as we continue on the season, we have to continue to get better and better so that hopefully when we get to the playoffs, we're hitting our stride and we can really kind of match our defense as far as intensity.
the defense definitely did its job, whether or not you think it's easier against Russell Wilson and the Broncos, to only allow 197 yards and not even 100 yards passing is really impressive. So, yes, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, everybody else raving about the defense. And Russell Wilson, man, you can imagine it's starting to weigh on him. It's a different coach. It's different coordinators. He has some of the same people around him, but they've kind of mixed and matched that offensive line. Just, gosh, the losing, it piles up and it feels heavy.
Unacceptable. We can't happen. You know, the first one, try to get the Jerry over top of the guy and he made a play. And then the second one, obviously, they tipped it up in the air, which is unfortunate because we had a good play on. I thought we kept battling, we kept believing. We did a good job getting all the way down the field to make the game, 8-point game. And unfortunately, it just didn't go our way at the end.
I thought we had great effort and energy tonight. In a short week, tough loss, I thought we played hard. And that's not always good enough, if you turn the ball over. But it gives you a chance to win. And I was encouraged with how we were ready to play physically and mentally.
We had some opportunities that we could have capitalized on. We got stopped on a couple of third and shorts or this and that, and they did a good job. And we had a chance, and I think we just got to play better, play cleaner. We've been playing, really good ball and offense for the past several weeks. And I think the best thing we can do is just keep believing, play cleaner. I got to play better, and that starts with me. And, I know I'll respond the right way.
It's starting to get depressing. Actually, so Russell Wilson with a pair of interceptions, but even when he didn't throw a pick and even when he wasn't getting sacked, though there were a few of those as well, just not a whole lot available. Jerry Jeudy, did you guys hear about this whole flap with Steve Smith on Amazon Prime? Was it Prime or was it NFL Network?
NFL Network.
And Steve... Now, correct me if I'm a little fuzzy on the details. Steve did a podcast, right, in which he ripped Jerry Jeudy and called him a jag, just another guy, which is not something I'd ever heard before in football, so it was an education for me. Calls him just another guy. So when Jerry Judy's on the set, did you cut this? Did you cut this audio?
I have the raw from Steve Smith, that he goes on and explains it. It's basically the idea that he went there to try to apologize, he said, to Jerry Jeudy for those comments. Mm-hmm. And Jeudy kind of brushed him off and cursed at him and had some choice words for him. So Steve Smith then laid into Jerry Jeudy and really made it clear that he is tier three, I believe were his words, type receiver.
Are you cutting it?
I have the big giant chunk. I didn't get a chance to chop it in pieces.
Do you have the Jeudy part?
I have Jerry Jeudy responding to the comments after the game.
Yeah.
All right. So let's hear it. Because the thing is, Jerry Judy's a very talented receiver, and so is Cortland Sutton. Actually, these two guys reportedly dangling as trade bait now, too, because the Broncos have Justin Simmons as their longest tenured player. They're about to turn over again. It's very frustrating, and this is the kind of criticism that's being leveled at the offense.
Jerry, a little bit of drama before the game with Steve Smith Sr. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that right now.
Man, that was a tough loss, man. I feel like at the end of the game, I feel like we could have got there, but they had a good drive at the end.
Jerry, Steve Smith said he had some kind of conversation with you before the game. Did that not go well, or based on what he said on air on NFL Network?
I don't remember that. But like I said, it was a close game. We just got to finish at the end of the game.
He took the high road, huh? Decided not to bring it up again or not to answer questions?
This was after he was dancing behind another Steve Smith cut-in that they were on NFL Network. After Steve Smith had his little, minute and a half where he was really he really laid into Jerry Jeudy.
Wow.
The next cut-in, I guess, because I wasn't watching it live, Jeudy found a way to be dancing in the live shot behind Steve Smith.
That reminds me of Bryson DeChambeau with the whole feud with Brooks Koepka, where Koepka would be on camera and Bryson would be walking behind him making gestures. Nice. That's very mature.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know. I understand, I guess, why it got to this level. It feels a little childish, but hey, you guys do what you want to do.
Yeah. I get that he's a former player and a former receiver, which actually should give him a little more insight and maybe a little more.
No, and I get it. And Steve Smith
experience
is,
to share. And Steve is known for being pretty aggressive.
He's not going to, you're not going to back down from his comments. So the idea that the surprising part of this whole thing to me was Steve Smith going to say, I was going to apologize for the words that I had. That's surprising to me because Judy hasn't done anything to prove that he's not just another guy. So I don't know why Steve Smith found it, I don't know, necessary to go apologize.
Well, he got criticized pretty hard.
Well, I mean, it was his thoughts. Yeah. He does believe that. So I was surprised that he was going to go apologize. It's not like he called him out. He didn't call him names. I mean, I know you could think of that as a name, but he was just saying the idea that he's not an elite level receiver. He's not. And he hasn't proven to be. So I don't know why Steve Smith would back off on those comments other than just wanting to be his friend.
Now, Jerry had some injuries last year, so he was out for a bit. But I would say when it comes to receivers, you have to get the ball from somewhere. I mean, that offense has been abysmal this year. Well,
I get it.
Not this year. Last year was abysmal. This year, just no rhythm and flow to it.
No doubt. And there's a million places you can point to, whether it's, again, different coaching staffs, offensive lines. Russell Wilson has been awful in 2 years. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. Yes, I get it. There are a lot of extenuating circumstance. Bottom line, Jerry Jeudy hasn't separated enough. He hasn't done enough that you would say he's an elite number one type receiver, and that's what he's supposed to be. So I really don't know why Steve Smith was looking to apologize in the first place, again, other than just trying to make nice. And that doesn't strike me from his personality.
All right, Jay said he got it, so we'll listen to it following the update. It's receiver on receiver crime, wide out on wide out crime. Again, though, if you're going to be criticized, I'd rather be criticized by someone who actually played the position so he knows what he's talking about. I mean, I'd rather be criticized by someone in my own industry rather than someone who's never sat in this chair before.
I guess. I think they also look at it as a little bit more sensitive in the idea, you went through this, you know what this is like, and you're criticizing me for stuff that you know is not my fault.
Not to mention you used to pick fights with your own teammates.
Right. So, like, there are reasons that you could look at it. When it comes from someone outside, it's a little easier to swallow. Like, what the hell do you know? You've never done this. When someone has done, you look at them and you go, you know how hard this is. Mm-hmm. And now you're coming at me. You have no idea what's going on in our playbook, in our locker room, in our, you know. So I think I can understand being a little bit more sensitive when it comes from a receiver. I could see why Judy was a little annoyed. But again, I still don't understand why Steve Smith was looking to apologize in the first place. That's where this whole thing escalated. Just let it go.
Might as well just own it.
If you let it go, if you guys didn't have any conversation to begin with, none of this would happen.
At least he didn't call him trash or garbage. That would have been offensive and crossing a line.
Judy called him worse.
Well, Steve, I mean, in his analysis, his expert analysis. All right, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, take the poll for After Hours Game of the Week. A lot of responses already on Facebook. We'll hear this Steve Smith criticism and how he lights into Jerry Jeudy and a little more of the reaction from Thursday Night Football, but getting you set for what's to come this weekend. Still haven't heard from the Atlanta Braves, which we will do, as they're out following yet another clash with the Phillies in which they come up on the short end of the stick or with the short end of the stick.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Russ looks left, now in trouble, throws a ball wide open, is Jeudy, touchdown Denver! Jerry Jeudy wide open in the northeast corner.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dave Logan is the play-by-play voice of the Denver Broncos, and there wasn't a whole lot of offense for them, certainly not through the air. On Thursday Night Football, 95 yards passing, and if you take away the yards lost because of the sacks, because this is how they calculate net yards passing, 82. 82. Remember a couple weeks ago when the Bengals did not have over 100 yards? In offense, yeah, it was that kind of bad. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Was good to see Javonte Williams back on the field, though the offense was very one-dimensional. They did get over 100 yards on the ground, more than the Chiefs. But the Chiefs had a ton of opportunities and couldn't capitalize. Broncos had three turnovers. And for Jerry Jeudy and for Courtland Sutton, there's just not a whole lot of room. So Sutton had a touchdown. And then Jeudy ends up with three catches on five targets for, are you ready, 14 yards. Again, the Chiefs did a really good job downfield in not giving these receivers space. And as we were talking about before the update, Steve Smith, who's a former Pro Bowl wide receiver himself, he was with the Panthers first and then the Ravens, right? Finished up his career with the Ravens, calls himself Agent 89 because that refers to his uniform number. I've always been a huge fan. I love his toed. I love his fight. He was never a tall dude. So, for instance, Chase Claypool, who's joining the Dolphins this weekend, he's 6'4". Right? There are guys out there who could win jump balls. That's not Steve Smith, but he would fight you literally and figuratively for any football. He was so tenacious and so determined that he made up for what he lacked in size and stature with just his attitude and his aggressiveness and his determination to be the last man standing, so to speak. And so he apparently wanted to make nice with Jerry Jeudy. It just didn't go the way that he anticipated.
I called out to him because on my podcast, Cut To It, I just talked about guys that maybe have not showed up in a way or in a manner. And so the word that I've used to describe him in the past was a jag, just a guy.
Just a guy.
And so when I saw him, he's playing well. I wanted to say to him face to face, like, hey, I know I said some things in the past I probably shouldn't have, and I'm sorry. That's what I wanted to say to him. His response, Mike Robb and Bucky, was ninja.
Ninja?
Yes, I'm using the word ninja. I'm just using the word ninja. I don't mess with you. And it was a curse word. And so I was like, all right. And then he repeated it. So I'll say it again. I'm sorry that I said you were a jag, just a guy who's an average wide receiver they use a first-round pick on that isn't doing anything. I hope today that you actually show up in a way that you haven't showed up in the last couple years since they drafted you. So if you ever got a problem with Agent 89, I'm sorry for saying that you're an average wide receiver that they eventually will move on. And when teams call me and asking, should they trade for you, I will say no. Don't trade for Jerry Jeudy because he's mentally unable to handle constructive criticism from people who watch specifically, can he be a wide receiver? He could be a wide receiver. He's a tier three.
Wow. I thought initially when he started out that was going to be something positive. Oh no, it devolved very quickly. Steve Smith on NFL Network. Ninja, huh? That's what he went with to. Well, that's the word he went with as the substitute for another word that he could not say on TV. That's in and of itself calling out Jerry Jeudy. That's good television. Steve Smith certainly has a flair for the dramatic.
When's the pay-per-view?
Same as he did when he was playing. He wanted to put on a show. And now here he can carry that over to TV and tell quite the story. I guess the feud's not dead. Jeudy with the feudie. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Twitter, what is the After Hours game of the week? On our Facebook page, you can vote there as well. A lot of you weighing in and finding it there. Coming up next hour, we'll do some QB news. We'll probably break it up into NFC, AFC, and preview week six that way. But did you hear about the member of the Lions whose family, part of his family, was in Israel when the war broke out? Can you imagine how nervous he was until he found out his family was back home? So you'll hear from Alex Anzalone yourself. Just fascinating to me. And it's not the only way that sports and Israel, the war in Israel, the terror attacks in Israel are intersecting. You may have seen that the Nets are hosting a basketball team from Israel, and they're playing like 3 days in a row, scrimmages, and having this team supposed to do an outdoor festival right this weekend. Not sure if the weather will allow that, but the coach of the Israeli team, he apparently lost one of his best friends in the terror attacks going back to last weekend. And so they're here in the United States to play basketball, and he was doing a press conference and very close to tears, talking about the tragedy and talking about the stress. And we also mentioned the pitcher, Dean Kramer, for the Baltimore Orioles, who was pitching in the playoffs, knowing, of course, that he's got family and friends in Israel in harm's way. And we talked about this a little bit with Ukraine going back when that conflict started, too, and how hard it must be for these athletes to try to focus on the task at hand, knowing that there's real danger for the people they love. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Ah, the satisfying sounds of more sales in your business. And from the sound of it, your business is growing. But you shouldn't have to pay more to scale your business. With Stamps.com, you can import orders from wherever you sell online, find the lowest rates with the fastest delivery times, and instantly deliver tracking updates to your customers and stock up on supplies. Get started at Stamps.com today with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale.